Hey, welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast where we exist.
Yeah, and we give you writing tips and life tips and dog tips.
Or maybe we give you nothing. It's up to you. But I'm Carrie Jones, and this is my husband,
Sean Farrar.
And that's it, man. I don't really feel like talking about ourselves. I don't feel like being like, I'm an international best-selling novelist.
Well, now you're just talking about yourself.
I know. It just seems uncool. But we've got cred, all right?
We're just two regular people.
With some cred.
Trying to pay the bills.
So we don't know why we do this podcast. Hey, welcome to our random thought for the podcast, Sean K.
What's up? Carrie J, but that's not your middle initial, and no. E doesn't rhyme with
Carrie
K.
Carrie E. There's a dog in our house scratching at things, because that's how professional we are. Our random thought, as Sean yawns, which is also not very professional.
I subdued that yawn.
That means you're going to yawn again.
No, I'm not.
All right, so this is from the AP, and it's the heist of 100,000 eggs in Pennsylvania becomes a whodunit that the police have to crack.
Oh!
Oh, clever!
Can I?
Do you think ChatGPT helped them with that headline?
Kidding. Who the hell makes headlines? I wanted to find out how many dozens that is.
Oh my god. Well, it's 100,000 divided by 12.
Yeah. It's 8,333 and a third dozens of eggs.
What is our dog doing?
I don't know. She's being a little turd.
Anyways, just to go through this very quickly, but apparently someone stole 100,000 eggs from the back of a trailer.
That's supposed to be like the whole trailer.
Yeah. And so it's 4 days later now, and they still do not know who it was or their motivation. But they think maybe it's because eggs cost high. And there's no leads.
That's correct. They think, well, it's not the right time of year. They're probably down in like Texas, somewhere where it's warm. Texas or Florida, the farmer's market or something.
Oh, they're like, here's some eggs.
That's
here's
right.
Here's some eggs. So the police are trying to follow up. They're trying to figure out like where all the eggs are. The Trooper First Class, Megan Fraser, a spokesperson for the Pennsylvania State Police, said today, in my career, I've never heard of 100,000 eggs being stolen. This is definitely unique.
Well, that's a hell of a statement right there.
If you were going to steal 100,000 of anything, what would it be? 100,000.
100,000 gold bars.
That's so practical.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, no, I snort laughed. I was like, would you steal 100,000 markers? Would you 100,000 bottles of Jack Daniels?
No, I'd want it to be a commodity that whose price doesn't change. It's, it's easily meltable, so then it's untraceable once you melt it.
You're so responsible.
And all you need is a mold to make new bars.
I think he's thought about this.
I haven't thought about it. Do you know how much that would weigh?
I'm pretty sure that you have an ancestor, and I'm trying to remember this from like 4 years ago when I researched your people.
Yeah.
And one of them came to the United States and then stole a whole bunch of gold.
Oh, yeah?
And got caught.
Oh.
And then said he didn't do it, and then got released. And then the scandal made him change his name in revolutionary
times. To Farrar?
No, it wasn't a Farrar. It was a Kelly.
Oh, was it? Yeah. That makes more sense, honestly.
So, yay! It seems like his genes may run in you, because you came up with that, like, fast.
Well, it's just... Like, what'd you say it was? It's pretty practical.
I know, but I didn't even go there.
I mean, if you have the means to do it.
I was like, truffles, mushrooms, like...
Yeah.
I thought of just things I like.
Well, if I'm going to take the risk of stealing something, I'm going to make it worthwhile.
Especially if it's 100,000. That would be heavy.
And it's easy to resell, so...
Smart. He's so smart, so I married him.
It's not like stealing 100,000 Monets. Which there aren't, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
How are you going to resell this?
I don't know.
Jeez.
So now, we're going to not talk about theft any longer. I feel so bad.
Why do you feel bad?
I don't
bad?
Know. Like, somebody listening to this for, like, writing advice has to listen to us for 3 minutes talk about random things. Maybe random thoughts should go at the end.
It's a little bit of, like, it shows... It's a lot about, of like, personalization, though.
Sometimes yeah, I guess
it,
so.
I mean, we failed to mention your undying desire to steal a kayak.
I do. I really
like the We can't walk by a kayak without Carrie saying, oh, I want to steal that.
I don't know what it is.
Talk about genetically inclined.
I have no idea, but every time I see a kayak on the top of a car, I'm like, I want to get that. I just want to
take it. If she had her way, we'd have a pile of kayaks in the backyard.
No, I would never be able to deal with the guilt. That's why I don't steal things.
A Google image would look like a pile of crayons in the backyard, all the different colors.
I have never stolen anything on purpose in my entire life. I haven't.
Only by, also you're claiming accident.
Yeah.
On everything.
You know, when I interviewed for the dispatcher position at the Mount Desert Police Department, they were like, have you ever stolen anything from a workplace? And I clicked yes.
Yeah.
And the chief at the time, Jim Willis, was like, what did you steal? And I'm like, I stole a pen, but I didn't mean to. Like, but I know I've stolen pens from the Ellsworth American. I know I've just taken them home. And he looked at me and he went, oh my God.
Yeah, I don't think it's thievery. I don't think it's thievery without the intent and the state of mind.
I know, but you know, like, I know I've probably accidentally taken a pen from a bank or something
that's
before.
That's not thievery. That's loss built into their profit model.
Anyways, that's the kind of human I am. Willing to risk a job for saying, oh, well, I did take a pen.
She ain't that honest about everything.
Oh, he's such a liar. Alright, so Monotony Must Die is the name of this podcast. How to keep your sentences in your podcast. Surprising, right?
I'm glad you read that out loud because I wasn't real. You've trained me so well not to look ahead to that. My first glance, I thought it said monogamy.
So, no flat writing. A lot of writers will worry that their stories seem flat, and there's a reason they're worrying about that, and it's one of the core elements of good writing. Are you ready, Shawnee?
I'm ready.
So, a lot of times your story seems flat because all your sentences are the same layout. You want to vary your sentence structure.
Uh-huh.
So, you want to take a bit of writing that you've done that feels flat, or maybe one that doesn't even, right?
That's right.
And you count the words in your sentences for 2 or 3 paragraphs. Are they all 5-word sentences? 12? 27?
Huh.
That robotic sameness in sentence length is one of the main reasons that writing can feel flat. It's like one of those Dick and Jane books.
See Dick run. See Jane skip. See Dick wave at Jane.
He put in at Jane, yes, and then it ruined the whole point of the 3-sentence structure.
Everybody knows Dick and... Well,
Shawnee,
actually, everybody
knows
that.
You just ruined the point.
Let me do it again, then.
See
Dick run. See Jane skip. See Dick wave.
So the other big bugger is when all your sentences are simple and declarative, right? I walk to... Oh, do this one.
I walk to the forest. The trees are gracious, tall. I inhale the pine scent.
So there's like... I'll start, I walk, the trees are, I inhale the, right? Like, there's like this similarity to them.
Uh-huh.
And that kind of lulls your reader, right? And it makes your writing flat, like the see Dick run, see Jane skip, see Dick wave, right?
Right.
And there's actually like a whole entire world of different sentence styles that writers can use. And when you use them, that's when your writing like gets shiny and sexy and all the good things.
A lot flat.
And not flat.
Whoa.
So the names for these structures are pretty boring, honestly, but we're going to try to look beyond that, right, Sean?
Sure.
So the first one is?
Simple.
You have a main clause, such as, here's an example.
Sean is the best husband. Actually, it says Carrie is the best wife.
But he had to add it. Another way is compound sentences, where you have more than one independent clause. You probably use a conjunction in that bad boy. So that would be...
Carrie wants to get another dog, but Sean keeps saying no.
Silence.
It doesn't apply to the rules we've created in
that
the
Sean
house.
Created. So a complex sentence is when the sentence... It's like the sentence that probably has to pay for a therapist or something, or is like reading Foucault, obviously, in the park. Like, this sentence is like so complex. It's like, it has an independent clause, it has a subordinate clause, it's the complicated sentence of sentences, right? For example,
when hell freezes over, we will allegedly get another dog.
Compound complex is a different, the final one that we're talking about. It sounds like a place with a cult, right?
It's a compound complex.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just a sentence with at least two independent clauses and one subordinate clause. So,
Carrie really needs a new dog to love. So Sean said that they would get one when hell freezes over. So Carrie immediately purchased some dry ice at Walmart and sent some down to Lucifer.
So, to keep your writing from feeling flat, you want to vary those sentence structures. Why?
Because it keeps the reader engaged. It helps highlight important details. It helps vary tone. It puts emphasis on things, especially when you use short sentence for that. It sounds more real. People don't speak in identical sentence patterns. When they do, just like in your writing, it feels unnatural and stilted.
And finally,
it can be easier to follow when you change your sentence structure up.
So how do you vary your sentence structure?
Well, let me tell you. You use different lengths, like we mentioned above. You can also use different types of sentences, like we also mentioned above. Throw in that complex sentence in the middle of all your simple sentences. Don't start all your sentences the same way that Carrie did up there.
Hey.
With the same word, use.
It was it. Yeah. And then I went, use, don't. So, really quickly, refresh your moments. What's a clause? It's a bunch of words chilling out together, and one of those words in the group is a verb, and another is a noun. Fancy people call the verb the predicate, but we're not fancy here.
What's an independent clause? It's a bunch of words that has a subject and a predicate.
Got fancy.
Or a verb. It is grammatically complete all by itself and doesn't need anyone. Not any other words to stand alone, darn it.
And, it's a subordinate or a dependent clause.
That's just a bunch of words that needs other words to be a sentence. This poor, beautiful baby cannot stand alone and be complete, kind of like a protagonist in a Hallmark romance.
Yeah. So sad.
Or a child that has to hold your hand to stand up. Door! Tip for life! So Pokey had a real simple response to this dog, this friggin' podcast.
Friggin'. Murphy stopped licking. Murphy dog was licking.
And it was just, yeah, Dad, you gotta vary your sentences. Just like Murphy and I do. Every day. All day. We don't simply say, bark, bark, bark. We say, bark. Bark, bark, bark. Bark, bark. And it makes it so much more interesting for you and Mama.
So much more interesting. She's so nice. So nice that way, our dog.
She just came in here to appreciate
your my barks. She knew what you were saying.
That's right.
Hey, thanks for listening to this podcast. The music was available via the Creative Commons, and it's called Summer Spliff Broke for Free, or Broke for Free by Summer Spliff.
No, I think it's Summer Spliff by Broke for Free.
Both of those work to me.
What?
They're either kind of, way? I like it, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of gives you like a lackadaisical surfer attitude.
Yeah, man. And also our podcast notes are where, Shawnee? Do you know?
On the podcast? No, I don't know.
Our podcast notes are on Living Happy on Substack, and also Carrie Jones books.blog, and also potentially wherever you're listening to this podcast.
Like, I'm sorry, I failed there.
You're frozen.
It makes me wonder if we have like a couple of sites out there we totally forgot about. Anyways, thank you for listening and have a great day.
And like, share, and subscribe and all that stuff we are
horrible podcasters.
We are, all the bots training on us are going to fail.
Oh, well, that's what we're doing. We're setting AI up for failure. That's our secret goal.